Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I can tell you that winter has come. Fall just passed us by. We're right in the middle of winter.
Yeah, yeah. That now that's true. We had some really cold days. Golly, one day last week it was in the four. I think a couple of days it was in the 40s. Now this, I think we're like hovering around 70 today, maybe 60 tomorrow, and then I think in the 70s the first part of next week, and then I've heard the bottom may fall out again towards the end of next week. So yeah,
hey,
it's
I'm
that tricky.
I'm still talking
time.
About last week when it was so cold.
Yeah, yeah, that's.
I'm not even thinking about today. I'm thinking about how I got through this.
Yeah, well, it was brutal. It was a wake up call, if nothing else.
It was 32 degrees.
Yeah, I remember not that long ago we were talking about how hot it is and we can't wait till it gets nice and cold.
That was you. That was you.
That
all
was
right.
Me.
That was you saying, oh my gosh, I long for fall and winter.
Yeah, well, look what I did.
Yeah, look what you managed today.
Now, if I would just wash the truck, maybe it'll start to rain. So if I'd known I had this much control over the weather, I'd have made a fortune years ago.
You would have done this sooner.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What a deal.
But now
yeah, 70s. How do you go from 32, high of 44, to 70 degrees?
I have no idea. And then back down, and then up, and then down, and then up, and down. And then, now that Halloween has passed us, and so now everybody's got Thanksgiving on the brain, and they were saying that this is the shortest holiday shopping season in years. And so you know what that means. That means Thanksgiving and Christmas are both going to sneak up on us. We'll have that thing where, oh my gosh, the holiday is next week. I didn't see it coming. I'm not ready at all. And so we're all going to get caught off guard.
So people are not going to have their Christmas shopping done, is what you're telling me.
That's what I'm telling you, yes.
And it's going to come up and they're going to run to Walgreens and buy something.
Yes, they're going to run to Walgreens and get whatever they can find left.
Yeah, it'll be midnight and they're at Walgreens shopping. I can see it now. And they're going to give Old Spice. You remember the Old Spice things, stuff that you put on your face after you shave? What was it called?
Oh, yeah, the aftershave lotion.
Yeah, it was aftershave lotion. It was Old Spice.
Yes, I remember that.
And that's as good as you got.
Yeah, that was a big year.
And there was a perfume. What was that? Wasn't Everclear, but it was almost that bad, that they sold at the drugstore 20 years ago. What was that?
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad.
It was offensive. It was more like bug spray.
It was. And people would smell you coming. I mean, it was a rough thing. Oh, my gosh.
I didn't know you were on your way a mile and a half down the road.
Those were the good old days when the drugstore had it all.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't matter what it was. They had it.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Walgreens had the lunch counter?
No.
You would go to Walgreens on a Saturday afternoon and order a hamburger.
Are you serious? I don't remember that.
Oh, my gosh. Long, long, long time ago, I remember that. But you had to go into the city, as we called it.
Ooh.
If you went into the city, you could do that. They also, way back, and this is in the 60s, I think, they had the first cafeteria I was ever in was in Oklahoma City. I remember that.
Really?
Yes. I went there with a bunch of friends. And I was just astonished that people ate like that. You know, that you could go this place and get this plate and fill up the plate and eat. I could not believe it. Oh, my gosh. Oh, me. It was something else.
People ate like that. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that they didn't eat at home. Because when I grew up, everyone ate at home. You did not go to a restaurant unless it was... you know, a special deal. People didn't do it.
Oh, yeah.
In small towns. You know, the tourists passing through on the highway ate in them. But the local people very seldom went into a restaurant unless it was to get coffee.
I remember when they had the first McDonald's in our little town, and that was a big deal. And you didn't go just run through the drive-thru. It was like real meat and all that. But, boy, you wouldn't go there unless it was a special occasion. And now,
that's right.
If you eat at home, it's a special occasion.
You know, I'm out and about all the time, and I see the long lines at Chick-fil-A and McDonald's.
Yeah. Yeah.
I figure they're making $1 million every 3 months.
They must. I would doubt that.
Yeah, it's at least $1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I looked up Chick-fil-A, and their franchises is very modest. It's $10,000. But you have to commit to going down there yourself and doing all that work.
Really?
Yes. They'll sell you the franchise and put you in business if you've got enough money to build the building, do all this. But the fee is only $10,000, but you have all kinds of hoops you're going to have to jump through.
Why?
And I thought how interesting that was.
I didn't know that.
Yes, but then you have to commit to being there so many hours a day and serving the public.
Oh, wow. So they made sure that you had a vested interest besides just financial.
That's what they're saying. You know, you've got to get down there and do this to make it work. You can't just have a manager and go on your yacht around the world.
Yeah, they're not going to send you mailbox money.
They're not going to do that.
Wow.
So I thought that was very interesting.
That is interesting. I didn't know this either, but about Chick-fil-A, when they train all the people, you know how you go through there, and they always say, thank you, have a great day, or whatever they say at the end. I can't even remember now. But they, during training, the stress, being polite and telling people to have a nice day or however they do their closing greeting when you're done.
Yeah.
That's part of the thing. That's not just people just randomly, happily saying, good tidings. That's part of the thing.
I knew it was because it's consistent. They always say, have a good day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's at every one of their stores they're taught. Be polite. Thank them for the business.
Yeah.
And they are a great chain. There is no doubt about that.
Do you know the Cracker Barrel? The managers have to have a degree, and the standard for being, I think, at least last time I heard, the standard for being a waiter or a waitress, a server, is pretty high as well.
I'll bet that's changed in Midland, Texas.
Welcome to the Comedy Hour with Faye Bagby.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
oh, boy. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
The whole point of Your Money is to grow your money so you can retire happy and wealthy and early. And I know we talk all the time about how people take on projects. Is opening a restaurant on anybody's list of things to do?
No.
Okay.
Everybody I know would never touch a restaurant. Let me tell you something. It's the most difficult business in the country. More restaurants fail than any other business in the world. So that is not anything I've ever heard a client of mine say. I want to go down there and work 24 hours a day, keep the cook from stealing the steaks out the back door and try to make a living. It's too hard.
You make it like sound like so much fun, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of fun. Oh, my gosh. And you go into a bank and say, I want to open a restaurant. The doors start closing in front of you. They just start closing the doors. Get him out of here. We do not want to hear about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and even the chains, as you know, they're closing a lot of restaurants.
Yeah.
Not in Texas, but, all these other places.
Yeah. I keep hearing. Don't they say that restaurants generally fail in the first 6 months?
Yes, and some of them in the first 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. They've got enough money going in to keep it going for a while. But you've got to get that profit and get it quick and get it established.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if you lose all your help and you can't get anybody, what the heck are you going to do?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And then you don't have anybody that knows how to cook, and the food suffers, and people walk away.
Yep.
They go, I'm not going back there.
Yeah. It's a difficult thing. And as a manager or even an owner, if people don't show up, and you have nobody to cover, well, then you've got to go and you may have to work almost 24 hours a day just to cover some shifts.
That's exactly right. And the big bosses expect you to do it.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right. And, so that's off the list for retirement. What kind of things do people want to do? I mean, how much money are people going to need?
Well, I would start with $1 million, and I would not stop at $2 million, let me tell you. Not the way they are. And you hear all the politicians talking about they're going to take all of our money and have Medicare for all. We better hit the swamps.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there won't be a dime left. I mean, you know, we've got to hide our money, keep it from them. We won't have any, I'm telling you. So my thoughts are, let's do something that is laid back, that we don't have to do a thing, you know. Let's invest our money, wait for it to mature, take the money, do it again, and have enough to live on. Don't go out here and do something outlandish.
The whole point is to reduce our stress at retirement.
That's
not
right.
Increase it.
Don't increase it.
Yeah.
And if you lose your money now, your wife is going to divorce you. She's going to make your life so miserable. You're going to be running down the street. I'm going to tell you something. It just isn't funny when your wife's unhappy, let me tell you.
No.
I mean, you know about that, right?
Yeah, well, I've read books. I've heard stories.
Uh-huh, that's the way it goes. And it all is because you can't live with it and knowing that now you've got to go back to work. And I don't want to wish that on anybody. I mean, if you're done, you're done. Of course, I like the idea of people not retiring early unless, like you say, they've made a lot of money, they're going to travel, they're going to have fun. I had several people retire this year at 59. And, of course, you know, they had enough money to do it, and they're happy. I've got three or four that are retiring to East Texas on the lakes. I've got a lot of people that have went to Weatherford, you know, and Granbury. Granbury is a great spot. Then a lot of them went to the Hill Country. But not one of them said, I want to stay in Midland and work. You know, they just didn't say that. And they said, you know, I want trees. I want water. You know, take a bath anytime you want. No smelly water. I mean, they just had a lot of things on their mind.
and clearly smelly water is at the top.
It was at the very top of their list. And so when I talked to them, I said, okay, what do you want to do? If I've got enough money, I'm going to take their early package, and I'm leaving town.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to leave the money with you. You invest it. Send us an email when we have a maturity. And, you know, in the last 2 weeks, we've had three maturities.
Have you really?
Two of them were small, and one was large.
Wow.
And one of them, again, was a breast cancer deal. And, you know, this is the second breast cancer that we've had this month. And this one was a small one. We had a small one that the lady, we finished everything in June, and she died in October.
Wow, that's fast.
It was fast, and sometimes cancer is. And sometimes it may go a little over on breast cancer, but usually breast cancer is always early. And as far as I know, we've only had one that went over, and the rest of them have come in really early. And that one the other day that we're waiting on to pay out, she was 69.
And wow, lived, that's young.
Yeah, and she lived less than a year.
My goodness.
Yeah, and this one was way less. So people want to retire. They want to have as much money as possible to do the things they want. A lot of people are just tired. They've worked hard all their life. And when they got this opportunity, they retired. And then we've got a lot of people that are not retired. They hope to retire in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if everything works okay, they will. Then we've got people that don't ever intend to retire. They're happy, they're working, and they like the company they're with, which is shocking.
Huh.
Most people are tired of the boss, they're tired of the company.
I was fixing to say, most people I hear from and most stories I hear, people can't wait to retire, and then they get closer and closer, and they start, you know, crunching some numbers and thinking, wow, is there any way we can retire a little bit earlier than what we planned? Because I got to get out of here. I can't take it anymore.
And then I've got some people, the men are going to retire, and their wives are not. They're going to work another 3 or 4 years.
Really?
Yeah, I've got several like that. Then I have several, both of them retired at the same time. They moved their money to me at the same time. And then this month, I've had an unusual amount. But these people are all working, have no intention of retiring. They're just moving money over to us because they want it to be safe. And, you know, lots of times people believe all the stories about the stock market. And so I went and got somebody's statement the other day and was looking at it. And here the market's been up and down all year, and they haven't made a dime. S&P hadn't made them any money. The NASDAQ hadn't made them any money.
Wow.
And so, you know, even though New York talks about us, oh, it's way up, that doesn't mean you're going to make a profit. I hate to say that.
Oh, I know. I see all the time. Usually it's two or three times a week. You know, they'll come on and, you know, the morning news will have all the numbers scrolling across, and they'll say, oh, so, you know, another, you know, great day of gains on Wall Street. And I'm thinking, I don't know anybody personally who's benefiting from it. I mean, the numbers are, you know, they look great sometimes on paper, and maybe it's just the spin they're giving it. But in practicality purposes, I'm not knowing anybody that's you know, doing a whiz bang job on Wall Street. So, yeah, they get a little bit frustrated.
I think they do. And a lot of people, as I said, have taken their money out and put it with us. And, you know, they want to do a different type of investing. And they're tired of it not making any money. And of course, they know I had several couples that had CDs, and those were just nothing, you know. And the bonds, you know, if you've got bonds, you've got a long way to go, because you'd see how bad bonds are doing right now. So, you know, anything that can go up can also come down. So it's better, in my opinion, to have some money invested in something that's stable, that you know what you're going to make. You know it's either going to come in early, on time, or it's going to be late. And if you're diversified enough, it won't matter. It'll work out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I believe in diversity. I don't care who you are. And if you've only got $50,000, you don't have enough money to start this program.
Yeah.
You know, our minimum is $100,000. And so if a person's got $100,000 to put in, you know, we can diversify it a little bit. But the ones that are really diversified have got $250,000, $300,000, $400,000 with us. And that way you can have six or eight policies, and that's what you ought to have.
People like that have a couple hundred thousand in the life settlement program, are they also, do they have anything left in the stock market, or have they completely made the leap?
Some of them have still got 401ks. That they cannot take money out of, okay? Remember the way 401k, every company has a different policy on that. Some of them say if you've been with us 10 years, you can take part of it out. Some of them say until you die or leave here, you can't take any of it out. So it depends what the company's rules are. I've had people that a month ago took some money out of a 401k and were able because they'd been there 19 years.
That's a long time.
They've been there 19 years, and will probably be there another five at least, because they're only 59 years old. Been with that company that many years.
Would something like that, if somebody's got a 401k and they can't do anything with it, even though they may want to, should they be worried about that, or is it just...
They have to wait. They just don't have a choice, unless they have other assets. Now, most of my people, they're all accredited, so they have other money. And they may own their own business. They may own a well service company or, you know, a drilling company. You never know. But they all usually have other money, and they'll bring other money if they can't take money out of the 401k. Now, if they have an IRA, usually they can just roll it over, and there's not a problem. So it depends where their money is and how it's fixed with the company and how long they've been there. So, but as I said, all the people who have come to us lately, you know, they've worked for big oil companies, and a lot of their friends are with us. So the friends finally told them how much they'd made, how many maturities they've had, and they came over and brought their money. They said they wish the fella had told them earlier. So we said, mentioned to us earlier, this is where their money was. So, you know, it's a good thing.
So what about somebody who says, okay, Faye, I've got a couple 401ks from some past employers, or I've just got one, you know, big one now, or whatever the case may be. They say, well, I think I have enough. You know, it's doing all right. I've got a couple hundred thousand in the bank. I've got the 401k, and I think, you know, next year I may have, you know, some bonuses coming up, you know, because we're coming up on the holidays, and that's bonus time. And so, you know, I've got some bonuses coming. I think I'm okay. Do they have a good handle on things, or should they be a little bit more secure in where their situation lies?
Well, they just need to add it up. You know, once a year, if you haven't done it in 5 years or 10, you need to see where you're at. How much is in my 401k? How much is in the old 401ks that I left there and that they're just leaving it just like it was? So you need to check on those. Roll those over. If you can roll part of your 401k or all of it, you know, if you want it steady, you know, roll it over. Lots of people have other money, and they own their own business, so those people can roll money over. So it always depends on what you've got and what you're doing and what your goal is. I always want to know, what is your goal? When are you going to retire? What are you going to do with the money? You know, are you going to live lavishly or not?
When people are looking at rolling things over, do they come to you and say, okay, Faye, I've got this and this and this, and that's 401k and these whatever, and I'm going to do this. Do you find that most people know how to move that money to avoid, you know, unnecessary taxes and fees? Or do some people realize they have it, but they don't really know how to move it and get it done?
Sometimes they have no idea that a rollover is not taxable. A lot of people say, well, Faye, if I move to you, I've got to pay all the tax. No. If it's an IRA or a 401k, we roll it over. It's still going to be a retirement account, and you do not owe any taxes till you take it out at 70 and a half. If you take it out before 59 and a half, direct to you a check, there's a penalty and taxes. So most people are never going to do that. They're not going to take that money out early. Most of them say, I don't want to take it out till 70 and a half, because they don't want to pay the taxes, and money grows faster if it's not being taxed.
So when somebody's thinking about moving things over, they're thinking about, okay, I'm gonna you know, cash out. I'm gonna, you know, come over to see you. I want to bring a big chunk of money. I want to bring a check, and it looks really big. They should really come see you before they start making any decisions like that to make sure they do it the smart way, right?
That's right, because you don't want to owe taxes on it. There's no reason to. And then we have to figure out it's 70 and a half. How much you're gonna have? How much you're gonna have to start taking out? And remember, if you have an inherited IRA, you have to take money out every year. There's a five-year deal, and then you can take it out over your age. If let's say you're 50, you're probably going to live 29 years. So then you take it out on your age, and it won't be near as much on an inherited IRA.
Okay. I know a lot of times when people, you know, are on the outside and they're looking in and they see somebody who's doing very well, they're making a lot of money, they think, wow, you know, they really must have a grasp on, you know, their finances. They really know how to, you know, to move and shake and where to put their money and how to make it grow. They must be really smart like that. But then you've got the person that sees that sometimes and they think, well, you know, I'm really good at what I do, but, you know, financial growth and things like that, that's just not where my brain goes. I don't really know how to do it. So in order to do something like this, do they have to have a good grasp on this, or can you lead them through it and kind of show them what to do and take
care
of
things? Well, usually we just lead them through it, show them the different options. They've got a lot of options with us, different things they can do. They can be diversified as far as they want out, or it's less. I've got some people say, no, I want to put in $250,000. I don't want to make a small amount. When it comes due, I want a lot of money. I've got three or four people own their own businesses, and that's their deal. Then I've got some people say, I only want $50,000 in a policy. But most people take our lead and say, okay, what do you think in this particular policy it should be? And lots of times I'll say it's $80,000 or it's $40,000. Depending on the circumstance.
Okay. Because I know, like, you take somebody like a NASA scientist, they may be really intelligent as far as things like that, but they can't tie their own shoes and have no common sense. People don't have to be educated ahead of time. They just need to come see you and you'll take care of it.
That's right. And we have engineers, and engineers are like a NASA scientist. Engineers, you have to go over it very, very carefully. The other people, not so much.
Okay. All right. So people don't have to necessarily be intimidated by, you know, retirement or things like that. They can come in and say, all right, Faye, I've got this. I've got this. I think I have this. Here's where I want to be. And you'll map everything out. And that's really the whole process. It's mapping this out. It's a part of a strategy to grow your money. It's not like a, hey, I'm going to invest in this one policy this one time and it's going to mature and I'm going to all of a sudden overnight have a bunch of money to retire. People need to understand going in that this is a strategy that you put together that lasts really several years in order to get ready for retirement and grow their money. Not only does it go up to retirement, but they can still invest even after retirement. So it's not anything that has to stop at any particular point. It doesn't end at retirement. And it's a plan. And do people understand that going in? Do they leave enough time to do the program and grow their money when they come see you?
Yes, they do. Most people have got 5 years, seven. Some of them have got this year. They just come to me this year as they retire. So then we take a lump sum and do the same thing we would do if it was over a period of years. Let's say they bring $500,000. Well, we say, okay, we're going to get all of this but a certain amount. And then we say, okay, how much did you leave at home? Okay, I've got another half a million. Then we don't have to worry. We will reinvest this until you say, I need to start taking money out. And that's the way we do it. And if they say, out of the $500,000, I need so much cash left in the account. That's what we do. Have some people say, leave me $60,000 a year in the account.
And
that's
for
what we do.
Everyday expenses and things like that.
That's for their yearly expenses. Then I've got some people say, hey, I'm not going to need any money out of this for 4 years, so then we don't have to worry about it.
So I know the minimum is $100,000 to start, but you know you're mentioning people you know who may come over with you know $500,000 or things like that. If somebody wanted to invest more, if they said, "Faye, I've got $750,000, I got $750,000, I want to invest this, I want to make it grow, I want to be in as many policies as possible, you know, to reap the rewards faster, get in more policies as some mature, getting new policies, things like that, get rolling really on a high frequency here. Is that possible? Is that advisable?
It is. We have a lot of large clients. We have a lot of people who've got $1 million to $4 million with us. And, you know, we take care of their money just like we would with somebody that has $1 million or $500,000. It's the same theory. You know, diversify out, and then we look at it every so often to see where we're at. How many do we have that matured? How much profit have you made this year? How many do we have that are holding? How many went over? Do we have any that's went over?
Uh-huh.
And so we go back and do it just like that.
On average, roughly speaking, somebody comes in with, say, $300,000 right off the street, sees you for the first time. How many policies would that roughly put them in? I know it varies, but on average.
Well, they could do six or less.
Okay.
And most people would probably do a little bit less, maybe four. It depends. If it's a policy that they love, they're going to want me to step it up and put more in it. Like that policy we did the other day. Everybody wanted more. And I was suggesting 100, and they said, no, I've got 160,000. I want it all in.
Okay.
So lots of times if it's something they really understand and like, they're going to put in more. And, you know, I'm recommending one amount, but if they want more, then I'll say, well, okay then. You know, because always remember, it's their money. I'm just telling them what I think we should do. Now, this week I had several people that called Claudia, said, now, does Faye like this policy? And Claudia said, well, she bought the thing. You must love it. And she said, do you want Faye to call you and go over the life expectancy? No. He said, I'm in. Just put me in. Forget it. You know, right. Put me in.
So do you ever have people who, and it doesn't matter, it could be either somebody who's brand new or somebody maybe who has been with you for several years. Do you ever find that people, they understand the process, they have a real good grasp on it, but maybe they don't understand how it translates, practically speaking, into, you know, how they invest. So say, for example, somebody has $250,000 available, and they want to be in six policies, and you say, well, this one, maybe we put a little bit more, or maybe this other one, we maybe put a little bit less, because each one is different. It's not an automatic, you know, here's a tier, we're going to put you in there. Here's a tier, we're going to put you in this one. It kind of varies for each one, right? So as people come in, do they say, I really want to put, like, all of it into this one policy? Do you say, you can?
No, I say no.
That's not a good idea.
No, we're not going to do that.
Okay, so you'll stop people from making
an
absurd.
I'm going to stop them before they do that. Because we don't want to sit here and wait for one policy to mature.
Oh, okay, all right.
I want them to have lots of maturities, not just one.
All right, so we want to still stay with the diversified theme, even though they may be looking at a bigger chunk in the end for one policy. It may not be the best.
That's right. And they can have more, but not all of it. That would not be prudent.
Okay. All right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. It's 877-588-3330.
Now, every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia, and you always bring interesting things to the table, whether it's a place to go, something to see, some Texas history. So what is the topic this morning?
Austin, Texas.
Ooh.
I love Austin, Texas, and I got to thinking about it. Fall is a good time to visit Austin, Texas. There's so many things to do and see in Austin. You know, it's the music capital of Texas. The live entertainment is crazy. Now, you can go down on 6th Street. You go to one end, the east side. Now, that's where your college kids are. You kind of want to stay away from there. But go to the west side. This is where all the jazz, all the mature music is. You can go on a rooftop. Listen to the music. Watch the people down on the street. There's so much to do in Austin. The bands there are out of this world. You can just sit back and listen to all these bands. Some of the best bands in the country are in Austin, Texas.
You know, we've never been to Austin. It's on the list of things to do. We always, I don't know why, but we always go to, you know, San Antonio, or we've been to Lubbock.
No, you got to go to Austin.
It sounds
like
it's...
Now, let me tell you this. They have more taco places in Austin than anywhere in Texas.
Now,
they have 14 taco places.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, let me tell you about it. A lot of people, during the holidays, they get tired of everything. They're tired of the hustle and the bustle. You know, it's right after Thanksgiving. They go to Austin, check in, and they start eating their way through the taco places.
Mm.
Some of the best tacos in the world are in Austin, Texas.
Really?
Yes. And then, if you want barbecue, the oldest barbecue place down there was established in 1943.
Wow.
It's called House Park Barbecue. And they've been making barbecue as long as I can remember.
This is House Park?
House Park Barbecue.
Okay.
Established in 1943. They do it the same old way. They've never changed a bit of it. Okay.
Now, you know that's good, because any time that people find something that works right off the bat and they don't change it, you know that people have been going there for years and years and years and years for a reason.
And that is and then Stubbs Barbecue. Stubbs has also been there. He was there during the days of Willie Nelson.
Really?
Yes. So that tells you how far back. And they have all kinds of live music at Stubbs.
Now, is that the same Stubbs that has the barbecue sauce at the grocery store?
You know, I don't know. But he not only has a Stubbs barbecue, the guy that invented all that also had the Stubbs shirts, the Western shirts that are to die for men.
Really?
Years ago, we bought those for my husband. They're great. Some of the best-looking Western shirts in the whole wide world.
Sweet!
Yes, I mean, that is a known fact. But then you have to think about the other things. You've got the museums. You've got the University of Texas. Got some of the greatest things to go see are everything at the University of Texas. You don't want to forget that.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they've got some great things at the University of Texas. And then they've got the big hill there. if you want to go and climb it, it's like 106 steps of Mount Bunnell. 106 steps.
Good Lord.
And you can see Lake Austin. You can see everything from there.
Wow.
And then you've got Laguna Gloria. It's a 14-acre outdoor sculpture.
Wait a minute. A 14-acre outdoor sculpture?
Sculpture and art, yes.
Really?
Yes. Then another thing that would be fun, they have a brunch bus. And it's by the Twisted Texas Cheers. They have a live band that serenades you all the way through brunch.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
and
cool.
Then the brunch boat doesn't go anywhere. It's just on Lake Lady Bird. And they have dancing on the top deck, tacos, and all kinds of things on that.
Oh, my.
So that is something I would never miss.
That sounds like fun.
There's so much to do. And then there is a place called Olami. And it has been recommended by James Beard, award finalist. It has the best biscuits with honey, but you have to have a reservation. It's so busy.
I love biscuits and honey.
I mean, you can hardly get in.
I'm sure.
Yeah, and a lot of their barbecue places is so busy, it's an honor to stand in line. Now, that is the truth.
It's an honor to stand in line, you say.
Yeah, that's what they tell me, you know. but Austin's one of my favorite places. Downtown is a fun place to be. You can sit there and watch the world go by.
Wow.
Yes. And the Blanton Museum of Art is at the University of Texas. It's got lots of things to see. I mean, great things. I just can't. It'd take an hour to tell you all the things I know about Austin. And, of course, they put all the freeways in. They put all the extra highways in, but get to downtown and forget it.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, you come in on one of the highways and check in and just have a wonderful weekend. It's a relaxing, music-filled spot where you can do all kinds of things. You can eat your way through Austin.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
Yes.
Isn't the slogan "Keeping It Weird" or something? Keep it weird?
That's down on 6th Street. Yes, 6th Street has two parts. The weird place is East 6th. West 6th is for the older, mature people who are not weird, okay?
Which side do you go to, Faye?
Well, I want to go right down the middle and see it all. You know, I don't want to miss a thing. Oh, my gosh. Years ago, we were in Austin. And at the big hotel there, and the electricity went out. I swear to you. And we were so cold, we almost froze to death. It took them 2 days to get the electricity out.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just, I don't know what happened. But downtown has some, remember this, a lot of the restaurants are in old houses, old warehouses. This is all old stuff. This is not some shiny new deal you're going to go to. They've got old houses that are, all kinds of restaurants and bars, nightclubs. It's a fun deal. Remember, Austin is an old city and has lots of old things.
Yeah, I love restaurants and old houses. There was this old restaurant we used to go to when we lived in Nashville, and it was an old brick house. It was built in like the 18-something, and the wood floor was still the original, and it had the square nails still in it from when they built it. You don't find square nails anymore. So, man, I love old stuff like that. Now, it sounds like Austin is just amazing.
It is an amazing place. Years ago, when I went to Austin all the time, at Town Lake, which runs right through Austin, had a restaurant out on the lake, and you had to go across this little bridge to get out to it. And it was the best restaurant that I'd ever had in Austin. It was fun.
Really?
It was a great place. And it's out of business now, but it was fun back then.
Oh.
I have so many memories of great things in Austin. And it's a hill country. It's the beginning of the hill country. You can go out there and you can see all these bluffs and hills and white limestone rock. And then you go right downtown and really have a good time. And there's all kinds of bridges that were built years ago that are still there across Town Lake. Just lots of things. And at one time they had all these pigeons that were under the bridge. They were trying to figure out what to do with them. And, of course, you know, Austin's a liberal city, so you can imagine that was a problem. Oh, my gosh. And don't forget, the governor's mansion's there. You can take a tour of it. You remember when it burned and they had to rebuild? And there's just, and the Capitol, a tour of the Capitol is a must. It's a wonderful place. And there's just, Austin is just really, I mean, you can sit down and you could stay a week or two if you had the time.
Boy, I'd love to take a tour of the Capitol.
Oh, it's a fun place. I've done it many times. The Capitol is great. You can see so many things.
Wow.
And you might even meet a senator.
That is my jam right there. The governor's mansion, the Capitol, all of it. Man, I'd be all on board with just spending
and
days
it's right
there.
Downtown. Oh, this is downtown.
Wow.
Everything in Austin that's worth a hoot is downtown.
Now, since you're an Austin expert, what's the best time of year to go? Around the holidays or maybe spring or summer?
Well, and I see both times are great. Fall is good because it's warmer there. You know, Thanksgiving, after Thanksgiving, it's a great time to go. Also, at Christmas, they have lots of great things. But in the spring, that's when all your tourists are there. Spring and summer is going to fill up with tourists, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
So there might not be as many tourists in the fall.
Well, then this might be the good time to go, then.
I think it would be a perfect time to go. Because there's just so much to do. And a lot of stuff, like the little boat rides, the brunches, takes reservations, but you could probably get that in one day. The rest of it doesn't even take reservations. You know, going to all these places to jam out, to watch them, to hear the great music. You can go to the University of Texas, go to the art places. That doesn't take a reservation. A lot of stuff does not take a reservation.
How feasible you think it'd be to spend like Thanksgiving in Austin, like that long weekend?
Oh, it'd be a great time. It'd be great. All the taco places, a lot of these places, I'm telling you, people eat tacos for Thanksgiving. They eat barbecue there for Thanksgiving. And then you can go to the hotels, the great old hotel downtown's been redone. They have a big Thanksgiving spread. A lot of the hotels do.
Really?
And you stay in a quaint little place. You don't stay in some big high-rise.
Yeah, yeah.
That takes all the fun out of it.
It does. I mean, high-rises are fun, and shiny things are nice, but, man, you don't find the character. You can't manufacture character in a brand-new shiny hotel like you can, you know, in these older places. That makes it really special.
It really is. And downtown is where you want to be, and then you can walk everywhere. Do you realize that? And also, you can walk almost everywhere.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, oh, and they have all these bike deals. You can rent a bike for $3.
Really?
Oh, yeah, you can rent a bike. I forgot to tell you about that. And go everywhere. Or you can go hiking. There's 14 miles of trails there.
So this is the kind of situation where it doesn't matter if you're like a city person, a downtown city person, a history person, or a nature person. There's something for literally everybody.
There's something for everybody. I don't know of anybody that would not love Austin, Texas. You'd have to really be weird to not to go to Austin.
See, there's that weird thing again.
That's right. I mean, I'm on weird today. So, you know, everybody I know goes to Austin several times a year.
So
you
why
know, go and stay?
Why haven't I been to Austin yet?
I don't know. I can't imagine. I just thought of it this week and said, you know, I need to talk about Austin.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite places in Texas.
I can't believe in all the years we've been doing this show, I cannot believe you haven't brought up Austin until now. You must be saving like the best for last.
I must be saving the best for the last of this year.
Yeah.
I mean, because I really wanted to talk about it because so many people, as I said, they go there and they'll stay a week. You know, I mean, the bike riding, the trails, you can walk them. I mean, there's just so much to do. It's going to take some time.
Now, I know that when you go to, like, a city like this, there's the places where the tourists go, and then there's the place that are off the beaten path where, like, the natives know or the people who are really embedded in the community know. Do you have any secret, you know, things like that that are off the beaten
path?
Well,
a lot of those things have gone away. But the old barbecue place, the tourists, I do not think, would know about that old barbecue place.
Cool.
And I think that would be good. And as I said, there's so many things to do down there. Old shops you want to go in. You know, there's some famous old shops downtown.
Wow.
Yes. And so some of those old, old places you're going to want to go see.
Well, it sounds like I'm going to have to plan a week to start, come back, recover, and plan another week to go and handle the rest of it.
That's right. And then out by Barton Springs, there is a steakhouse that's famous. So that place might be booked solid. But we used to go there a lot when it wasn't as famous as it is now. Some of the places, when I was going there originally, they weren't famous. They were just old places, you know.
Yeah.
And they're still old, but they're still here.
Yeah. But people have caught on to them now.
Now they've caught on. And of course, you've got, you've still got hippies in Austin. You've still got, as I said, all the strange people, weird, you know. That ain't going to change. Oh, my God.
Well, then it definitely sounds like when we go, House Park Barbecue is on the list, and then I'm just going to eat my way through the tacos the rest of it.
Yes, eat your way through the tacos. They have every kind of taco known to man.
Wow.
I mean, and they're all, in my opinion, they're five-star tacos.
Wow. I could literally live on tacos three times a day, 365 days a year.
Well, I suggest you start and just go through the taco places and just try them all out and see which is the best.
And when I do, I'll report back to you, although it may take a while, so...
It may be a while before you come back.
Yeah. Awesome.
Because the tacos are so good, you may just say, I cannot leave town.
And, you know, I'm the kind of person that when I find something that I really like, I'll stick with it. So I'll go back to the same place over and over and over and over. And there may be 100 other ones that are just as good, if not better, and I don't get to them because I'm stuck on the place that I love.
Well, and let me tell you this about it. When you see that they're not real nice restaurants. They're not. None of this stuff I'm going to recommend is going to be fancy. This is old-timey. And some of them have food trucks. And the food trucks are fabulous.
Oh.
The taco food trucks are to die for.
Oh, man, I bet they're amazing.
Yeah, these are old food trucks. A lot of it. And one of them, one of the barbecue places just this year finally put in a restaurant. They've been in a food truck for 25 years.
Really? And they just now expanded to an actual
brick and mortar? Yeah, they finally expanded. I don't know if they'll make it now. You know? I mean, who knows? They might not can make it. But these are genuinely old, comfortable places. The food trucks, the old restaurants, they're in old, old houses. You know, old wood houses, wood frame. These are old places.
Wow.
And, yeah. And then some of the old... cocktail places, as I call it. It's a restaurant, but they do serve cocktails, and they have all the bands there. You go upstairs and go out on the roof.
Wow. That's cool.
It is a cool place.
Wow. Well,
and so it's just hang out, chill out, and eat your way through Austin. But I would stay with the tacos and the barbecue.
Well, Austin's definitely on the list of places to go. It may end up being Thanksgiving in Austin this year. I think
it'd be a wonderful time. The weather should be great. You can rent a bicycle or you can do the trails. You can do all kinds of things.
Very cool. Very cool. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330.
So what do you say to somebody when they are thinking about investing and they're thinking about growing their money, they're thinking about retirement, or they're at least thinking about retirement, but they say, you know, Faye, tomorrow isn't guaranteed. I don't even know if I'm going to be here when I'm 65 to retire. I'm going to blow through all my money and be irresponsible now. What do you say to that person?
I'd say good luck. I mean, that's what I'd say. I'd say, good luck with your plan. I don't think your plan's very good. I mean, you know, if you spend it all now, it won't matter if you live 5 days, you're not going to have any money.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
And you can't be irresponsible. You know, a 50-year-old being irresponsible is not very good.
No, no, you that's know? Not very good.
It's not very good. So you need to be responsible, you know. Don't buy a $250,000 sports car at 50.
Yeah.
You know, men get crazy when they get about 50. They want something really shiny, fast, all that.
Yeah. That's
but,
true.
You know, I think just get a new pickup and forget it.
Wow.
I mean, you know.
That's selling right there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you should go any farther than that.
Wow. So when people are looking at this and they're saying, okay, I can either spend my money now and enjoy it and go buy a new pickup or a new sports car or whatever, or I can save for retirement. If they have that either or mentality, is that something that should be shattered because they don't have to be either or? They can do both. They can live, you know, a comfortable life now, but they can also grow their money and live a very comfortable life after retirement. Can people do both?
I think so. If they're kind of at least halfway sensible, that they can, you know, grow their money, get ready for retirement, still have toys when they retire, and live a good life, still travel, still do things. If they don't just go berserk, you know, at middle-aged people sometimes go berserk.
Yeah.
And they want to spend all this money. They want to buy gold. They want to buy silver. And I don't know of anybody that's bought gold and silver that's rich.
Mm. That's
I haven't heard any cases of it. No, I mean, and on the television, they always say it's going to go up 200%. But we're still waiting. That's what they were saying 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, don't take $50,000 or $100,000 of your hard-earned money and put it into something that can go up and down, you know, if you're 50 years old.
I know you talk to people from all walks of life and all different personalities and all different backgrounds and things like that. But on average, what is a typical investor with you like? Are they somebody who has lived a comfortable life and is responsible, or have they kind of blown it earlier in life? They know it and they want to get back on track now. Where do most investors fall?
Most people have not blown it. I've only got two or three that come in and they're starting over. Okay. Sometimes it's a divorce. I've had two or three people. We have a doctor. It's been with us now 4 years. He came to us. He had just gotten a divorce. Well, he lost all of his IRA. You know, the wife got it. And so he had to start over. But he's done real well. He's rebuilt his money. He's rebuilt what he can do. He's got a new job. He's making a lot of money. So he made a comeback, a fantastic comeback. Somebody gets a divorce, and it takes them a long time to recover, you know, mm-hmm. Because you lose your IRA, you use your retirement, so you have started over. And then a lot of people are conservative. They've always been conservative, and they haven't done anything with their money, okay? They've been at the bank. They've made that 25 cents or 50 cents or, you know, and back years ago it was a lot of money, but it's not now.
No.
And then some have just left it and let somebody else manage it. Somebody else called the shots. If it goes up, fine. If it goes down, they just, you know, they weren't paying attention.
What's the biggest draw to the life settlement investment?
I think the biggest draw is what you're going to make. It's steady. You know, 1% a month is a good amount. We know it's going to come due. We know it's just a life insurance policy. It's not anything radical. It's not anything you never heard of. And everybody's doing it right now. This is what's funny. We started doing this a long time ago. Now everybody's doing it. All the mutual fund companies are getting into life settlements. And as I said, they're paying like 8%. And they're making the spread. They're making more. And they say there's so many people that have got life insurance policies that need to sell it because of their health, because they're ill. This has become a $60 billion business.
Whoa!
That's what they're telling me. So, and, you know, we read statistics every week. We read about, you know, what cancer's doing, what people are doing on performance. And the life insurance companies, you know, we use A-rated companies. I'm always seeing ads for annuities, and they're B-rated companies. Mm. They're going to offer all this money. And then we say, well, let's check it. I'll have somebody check it. Oh, they're just a B-rated company.
Oh, boy.
They're B-rated for a reason. If you lose your A or AA status, there's a reason, folks.
Mm-hmm.
So even in this, when we buy a policy, we make sure that they're A-rated. Like Genworth, we can't do business with Genworth. Genworth is, you know, down to a B.
Uh-oh.
They used to be a big company, but now Genworth, we can't even do business. We can't even buy their policies. So you want to buy policies from an A-rated carrier. We know they'll pay off. We know that they've got billions and billions of dollars.
So they've got the backing to make sure that everything is...
They have got the backing. A lot of them are worth from $60 billion to $100 billion.
Goodness
gracious.
That's a lot
of money.
Golly, yeah. Those are big numbers. So what are the risks?
Big numbers. Well, the risk to this is if a policy goes over, that's your biggest risk. You might have to wait for your money. It might go a year. It might go 2 years over. But if that's your only risk, it wouldn't be bad. It's not a bad risk. It's just a risk. It could happen and does happen. Then the second risk is it's not liquid till the policy matures. Okay? It is not liquid during this time. And everybody knows that because they know if you give us your money, we're going to put it and buy that life insurance policy from the person that's got cancer that needs the help.
So you can't
get it. We buy them out completely.
You're not going to get it back until the policy matures. And that's fine.
No. And then there's third risk, which is the smallest one of all, is if a life insurance company went broke, you know, we would have to wait till a new company bought it. But so far, any company that's ever been in trouble, another life insurance company has stepped in and bought it.
Okay?
Because of that premium income.
No.
See, if a bank goes under, they don't have premium income. They don't have a great big reason for you to buy them.
Yeah.
But a life insurance company does.
I know it's going to vary with every investment, every investor, every situation is different. And I'm going to throw out a question here because I want this to sink in to people who are looking at this through, because we've been talking about each individual policies. We're talking a little bit about how all this, you know, works into growing retirement. But how much would an average or could an average investor make on an average time span of, say, 7 years? I know it's different for everybody depending on policies, how many they're in, things like that. But on an average, what could people...
It takes about that long. It takes 7 or 8 years to double your money.
To double their money.
Yeah, it'll take that long. It's not going to be overnight.
So if somebody comes into you with, say, $400,000...
Yeah.
In 7 years, they could end up with close to $1 million, which is that number that you say people need
right.
to be at to retire.
That's right. You could be at 800, or you could actually be at $1 million. And it depends. How many? If everything comes in like it's supposed to, on time, there isn't any problem. If some of them are late, it might take another year or 2 years, you know, mm-hmm. Because you never know. If everything's going to come in early, if everything came in early, you could actually double your money a little earlier. But if everything comes in on time, about 7 to 8 years, yes.
So that's a fairly accurate assessment of where, like a starting point of what people can hope for.
Yes, it is.
Perfect. All right. Well, it sounds like a win-win situation. Do you have availability to talk to some people to get the ball rolling this week?
We do. We will be available. We're taking appointments and getting things done.
Cool. Well, one last time, Faye, what is your phone number for people to call and make an appointment?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.